The body is the canvas for awakening and liberation. And it does keep the score. For many of us, this can be a hard concept to grasp, and of course it is. We've been glorifying our minds for so long, and now we think that we can think everything. And yet our way to happiness and fulfillment cannot be strategized and thought through, but it can be felt. In this episode, I speak to Ludivine Rose, a spiritual teacher, devotee of the goddess Wuzet Tantric lineage, and a practitioner of body devotion, sacred sexuality, and classical Indian dance. Ludivine has been sharing her wisdom with Feel community from the very beginning of our journey, and I'm so honored to be able to share her voice here with you, as she's not that easy to find on the internet. Let's explore the body as a sacred map of memory, pleasure, and healing. You are listening to the Feminine Power Podcast, your portal into embodiment, feminine awakening, and the true power of your life force, sexual energy. I'm your host, Maria Grinina, founder of Feel, a global platform for feminine embodiment, and a coach for women ready to live with magnetism, love, and full aliveness. If you're ready to rise, you're in the right place. Follow the show and let's begin.
The human body is the most magical vessel of remembrance and of love. The human body is a temple that, as we bring awareness and tenderness and love towards it, can reveal mysteries that are held. Mysteries that have been held for generations. Traumas and experiences that we have felt in our bodies that are almost like a roadmap to uncover in order to remember who we are. I think many of you have heard about the book, The Body Keeps the Score. And the body definitely keeps the score. It's the map, it's the tissue of what makes us alive. And in the tantric perspective, we talk about four different qualities in order to embody fully. One is dharma, purpose, kama, love, artha, wealth, and bhoga. Wealth, it means inner wealth, and bhoga is enjoyment. And it's not just enjoyment in the moment of joy, it's enjoyment also in the moment of challenges. And that leads to moksha, and moksha is liberation. And this is the aim of life, or of many lifetimes, and it happens in the body. And that's what's extraordinary about a body. I have a body, but I am not my body, and yet through my body, this is going to be the vehicle that is going to allow me to liberate, which is kind of wild, because perhaps you've all heard this idea of I am one. Okay, yeah. I am one. So why am I limited in a body if I am one? Right? It's this beautiful paradox, because it is only through the body, through the gift of this body, that the human being has the opportunity to liberate. And so as much as the human body is a limitation, as much it becomes the canvas for our liberation. And so just to go back to the idea of the body keeps the score, the body through our life is going to hold memories. And the way that I have experienced it is, it's kind of a treasure map. And these memories that we've had when we were children that we didn't even know created traumas or experiences, and we got frozen here or blocked there, or I have this pattern that I don't know, or I feel like I'm not completely myself. And slowly, slowly, by coming into an intimate relationship with our body starts to communicate with us and say, oh, wow, there's this tension here. What is that? Let me go explore it. And then you go down a rabbit hole of exploration and you discover that something happened at this particular time that created this particular, literally it is as though the tissues of your body had been frozen when you had a trauma. And it's about softening into it and allowing these tissues to The ice of the frozen trauma to become melted into water and then soften to remember who you truly are. And even if you haven't had a big trauma, every trauma is big. When your mommy said, "No, I don't have time," and you realize, "Oh my God, I can't have love in that moment," that was something that could be considered traumatic. And it's very beautiful to explore traumas, and yet, if we focus only on that, we're going to keep on fragmenting. And fragmenting is not the goal. The goal is to remember our wholeness. And so to be aware of the trauma, but not allowing them to define us. And in the exploration of pleasure and softening and the body, it gives us an opportunity. With the body, we cannot hide. Our mind is really good at hiding. Oh, yes, I know this. I know that. Yes, I've done the work. Mm-hmm. But the body in that moment, there. Oh, right here it is. Okay. So how can I learn how to soften that, open in that, release in it? And in the release, let the memory of what's there, an emotion, an experience, a fear, to be revealed in the proper timing.
Yeah.
So I guess that.
I am keen to unpack quite a few of your sharings now. And I'd like to go with a simple one. As these days, a lot of people come to listen to this podcast, for example, because they're looking for meaning and for reconnection. And this reconnection becomes so important as we in the modern world seem to be disconnected from each other and from ourselves, from the body. And you describe this beauty of the body, how much wisdom it holds, and how many answers could actually be found there. But how does one, listening to this and getting inspired, start the process of reconnection?
Let's start with tenderness. And maybe just giving yourself a hug. And saying, "I love you. And I'm sorry. I'm sorry I didn't know better. I'm sorry I've judged you. I'm sorry I've criticized you. I'm sorry I didn't even know that you existed. Because my whole life I've thought that you were just a hindrance, perhaps, or something that was not the way I thought it needed to be." And in entering this intimate relationship, which means wanting something with and not something from the body starts remembering. And then saying, "Oh, I'm sorry, I forgot. Can you show me how to remember?" Ask your body to show you how it wants you to remember connection. But then there's some very practical tools. Things that feel good. Feel good. Oh, what feels good? I like taking baths. And in a bath, I can just maybe put a drop of rose oil in my bath. And then let my body be in the bath and then touch my feet and say thank you to my feet. Imagine your feet. They've been holding your whole body since you were maybe 1 year old. Isn't that extraordinary? And then you go up to every part of your body, thanking them one by one and touching them, using the word and the touch at the same time. Create something of an embodiment. It's just not an idea. It's not I'm thinking about my feet. It's I'm thinking, I'm looking, I'm feeling, I'm touching it. And even if you don't like your feet or you don't like your breast, just having a moment of being present with it. And then you get to your breasts. And the breasts are the most incredible thing in the world. They're actually like the guardians of the treasure of our heart. And I think all the feminine path is, well, guiding us towards opening our hearts and feeling more. But it's been so guarded because of pain and traumas and experiences and this disconnection Well, we're disconnected from our hearts, we're disconnected from our body, we're disconnected from nature. And so our breasts are literally the guardians of that. And I don't know about you, but I've judged my breast a lot. Na 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 na. You want them to be bigger, you want them to be firmer, you want them to be smaller, you want them to be all these things. But when we stop and we realize that our breast can nourish life, literally, with your breast, you can feed a baby. And if you're not feeding a baby, what are you feeding? What are you nourishing with your breast? And that's where all of the practices of Taoism, of breast massage come in, where you literally use the magic of your breast to nourish yourself and your heart. And then once your heart is full, then you get to nourish the world. And so it's coming into a remembrance that your body is perfect the way it is. Not only is it perfect, it's magic. Not only is it magic, it is the place that is going to give you a possibility of liberation. How do I recognize that? And in the Taoist tradition, we call the breasts the bells of love. And what is a bell? Why do you have a bell?
To call into something.
To call in. Wake up.
Yeah, to wake up.
You just smell and you just hold your breath and they're just saying, wake up, wake up. Wake up to the magic that you are. And so shifting from wanting something from them, being smaller, bigger, this or that, to wanting something with them. So... yeah, maybe that's a very simple practice or a way to connect to the beauty that exists in our heart.
Yeah. I'm finding in my personal path that there kind of were two pathways about learning about life. And one of them was the usual one where everything in the world tells me that there is something wrong with me and therefore I have to fix. And it is a very, very much of a commercial funded kind of path, because that makes me want to buy more things to fix myself. Very much of a consumer oriented kind of mindset. And that's where I was in my first, maybe in 20 years of my life. I'm quite lucky to connect with beautiful teachings early on. And that, I believe, really helped me to be where I am right now. But still, advertising, social media, TV, what everyone is talking about, that I need to do this kind of diet, fix my body, do this kind of exercise, buy this kind of supplements, or do this kind of surgeries, or there is a constant brainwash that is unfortunately really present still now everywhere. And that mindset, apart from, of course, making us just run around and try to find solutions to our own selves, simply also disconnects from this beautiful magic that we can embrace when we take the second path that you're just describing. Actually realizing that we can work with the body to change everything around us and to truly enjoy life somehow. And I wonder why, maybe you have a perspective. In ancient teachings and in some lineages, this was something that was more obvious and something that was more looked into and brought forward in the society. What do you think is that? How did we get disconnected from it?
Thank you for that. I think a lot has to do with our relationship to nature and being far away from nature. When you're dependent on nature to nourish you, you understand that winter has its season and then comes spring and then summer comes and then fall comes again. And there is this cyclical nature that allows our body to be in communion with the body of the world. And a lot of these ancient teachings understood that I can actually be in tune with the body of the world, and that nourishes me. It's this relationship again to intimacy. We are disconnected because the intimacy has been lost. And intimacy comes from the Latin word intima, which means the core of who we are. So the connection to the core of who we are, which is a being in relationality to the world, has been forgotten. You are standing on the planet spinning in the middle of the cosmos right now. How extraordinary is that? And the whole path is about how can I find myself? How can I find my place within the tapestry of the world? And when we raise children that understand that they are part of the natural world, that they have everything inside of them as resources, that there's a gift inside of their heart, that is each and everybody has an individual gift, and we are here to celebrate and honor that, we shift from competition to collaboration. We shift from learning through pain to learning through pleasure. We shift from separation to connection. We shift from being against something to being with something. And rather than everybody fighting with each other, trying to dominate each other, we perhaps can enter into humility that we all belong to an interconnected web, and that what I have to offer is going to help you shine what you have to offer, and what you have to offer will help shine somebody else. And then in this sharing of love and care, the abundance is there. And I don't think it's a change. You said the word change. I don't think we have to change anything. We just have to remove the veil and see things as they are. And everything about the society of the consumerist society of the last, you know, it's of the last hundreds of years is just pulling us further and further away from the essence of who we are because, well, we can make money from it. And then we think that we don't have enough. And so I need to have more. But if we take off that premise that you're not broken, that you're actually perfect the way you are, and that there is a treasure inside of your heart wanting to be revealed, what is the environment that you need to be surrounded by in order for that treasure to come to the surface? And that's an environment of safety and trust. And in your own life, the safety and trust is with your own body. It is safe to be in this body. I trust this body. I know for many years it wasn't safe. I know for many years I couldn't trust it. And so learning to trust our bodies becomes almost the most rebellious act against consumerism and against all of society, because it's saying, I have the answers. Not I, my mind, but my body and my heart has the answers. And it's not my truth. It is a truth that you are abundant, that the essence of the divine is overflowing with presence and continuous love always. And yet there are seasons. The thing is that we always want to be in summer, or advertising companies make me think that we always want to be in summer at the peak of ourselves. In our menstrual cycle, we need to always be in ovulation. Hello. That's not sustainable. It is a system, and I don't want to talk about patriarchy and matriarchy, but it is a system that is asking us to be in a performance-driven state always, rather than being in the natural being state, which is cyclical, especially as women. We move with our cycles. We move with the cycles of the moon. Just look at the moon. The moon is changing all the time. And what is she doing by doing nothing? She is shifting all of the waters in all the world and in all of our body and in all of nature. This is the power that you hold in your body as well. And so as we remember that, we don't need anything anymore. And yet we become completely interdependent with the world that is around us and with each other. And so it's really shifting the dialogue from being independent to interdependent, from doing something yourself to doing something in a togetherness, from really this idea of competition to collaboration. And even with our body, oh, I'm going to compete with my body. I'm going to have it to look like this, and it's going to have to be like this. Whereas, like, if you collaborate with your body might give you some really good wisdom that you would have not thought about. It's just an interesting.
Yeah. On this note, you've mentioned we could be learning not from pain, but from pleasure. And I must say, I learned so much more and so much better from pleasure. Not only it feels good, but it also shows me insights that I would never come across cognitively. And when I make myself feel good, then I am such a, I'm a better creator. I'm a better person. I'm just connected so much more. And on the opposite, also coming to this conclusion for myself, first I had to go through ideas and thoughts that even some spiritual teachings, not only the modern world, but some spiritual teachings would share around pleasure isn't something that we should be working towards or with. Rather, we have to practice discipline and stillness. Generally, the whole education system I went through as a normal child would all be about punishment, doing well or being punished, doing the right thing or being punished. And now as I'm going through my adult life, I'm seeing that it doesn't really work for me. I want to be inspired. I want to be with my open heart moving forward, and then I'm the best creator, as opposed to I should be afraid of doing something wrong and therefore perform okay. And what is that about? What is this confusion around pleasure?
Well, I think it's something very, very old that has been instilled in our bodies, and we're remembering. We're remembering that, well, pleasure and discipline are actually very deeply connected.
Mm.
And discipline, people are very scared about it, but actually, discipline is a key, because discipline creates a good vessel.
Yeah.
In a good vessel, a good body, you have a capacity to feel pleasure, not only to feel it, but to cultivate it. And then your pleasure not just being your own, but then blossoming in your heart, and then being able to use it to serve. Because pleasure for your own sake is good. You need pleasure at first, after having gone through so much pain. But then it's just for yourself, then we get lost. And oftentimes when we don't have the discipline, we become leaky. Oh, I'm going to be hedonist. Hedonism is great for a minute. But what's the goal? What's the aim?
Yeah.
And if the aim is serving, which is actually my aim, is serving the divine as the expressions that I am, as the gift that I am, or the gift that you are, well, discipline is required. And regarding the pain and pleasure, I think there's many different traditions over the years, and it's interpretation of traditions. I'll put it like that. Because Zen, for example, looks very disciplined and seem very distant from the body and pleasure, and yet there is so much pleasure in that discipline and showing in the Zazen and sitting straight. But we get misunderstandings. There is so much in Christianity, in the Judeo-Christian tradition, we have been like told, you know, pleasure is not good. You have to like be punished for what you do. You're a sinner. And well, I was very scared of the word sin, but actually sinning simply means missing the mark of love. Huh. Okay, well, I'm sinning all the time. And if it means missing the mark of love, how tender can I be with myself to walk back into love? And so I think in many traditions, we have misread again what the original teachings are. And because of our own experiences, we have created a relationship to pain. No pain, no gain. Well, no. What are we doing here? And obviously, life is life, and we're going to meet challenges, and it's going to be painful. But in this concept of bhoga, enjoyment, if we come to understand that everything that happens doesn't happen to us, but for us, then these experiences of challenges, yes, we need to cry. Yes, it's going to be challenging. Yes, it's going to be hard at times. But if we know it happens for us because it's moving us into deeper growth, then we can surrender. And that's where it's a discipline of surrender. You can surrender to the experience by feeling safety and trust in your body and saying, I know it's hard right now, but we're going to move through this. And in moving through this, well, we can open to a wider breadth of experience.
If you're enjoying this episode, I'd love your support. Just tap three dots next to the podcast name or wherever you're listening and select rate the show and leave us 5 stars. It takes a few seconds and it really helps more women find the space, connect with their bodies and come home to themselves. Thank you for being here with us.
And find pleasure in it. Find the taste. I work a lot with taste. I work a lot with the tongue, softening the tongue. When you soften your tongue, your pelvic floor softens. And so you're even having an experience that's really challenging and you just see you're like reacting, your whole body is getting rigid. And the moment that you soften the tongue and step back into yourself, okay, I'm stepping back into myself. I want something with this moment. Okay. And then in there, even the very challenging situation can become pleasurable. This whole idea that we have to be good girls. This whole idea that we have to be the best. This whole idea of competing with ourselves. It started very young, you know, when our parents ask us, what do you want to be when you grow up? I can't just be. I have to be somebody. I have to be something. Well, what am I going to be? Well, I'm going to be the best. Because if I'm the best, I'm going to get the love of my mom and my dad. And then this relates to God. It's like, if I'm a perfect devotee, God will look at me. Well, you are already perfect. And God will look at you, and your parents will look at you as you develop an intimacy with yourself. Because you and them and you and it are one and the same. And the more you let the armors of your heart melt, rather than functioning from a place of protection that is based on fear, you can operate from a place of guardianship that is based on love. In your heart, there is the most precious treasure. And this treasure is held in the temple of your body. How can I be a guardian of this? Huh. Yeah, that. If you forget it's there, it's like, well, I know I have something precious, but I need to protect it because I don't know how to get it. So I need to protect it and anything. And then we go into reactive mode. So how can we be conscious and respond and not unconscious and react? Right? It's years of practice and tenderness, love, and coming together in community. I really, really do believe we're in a moment where community, Sangha, family becomes essential.
Yeah. Yeah. I can still feel it.
Yeah. We're learning from each other.
I'm so honored to share your teachings on the Feminine Power Blueprint course that's coming up in October with women from all over the world. It's the second time we do this container. And I invited you to teach the erotic innocence, the subject that's been so transformative as you've been sharing on it with us already for quite a few years. And I would love to ask you here, what is it about? What is erotic innocence? And why is it so important for us to transform?
The erotic innocence, to me, is a continuous reminder that we are actually living in the garden. And yes, there was the fall. But I think Eve was totally aware of what she was doing. A lot of people say, oh, yeah, it's all the fault of women. And then this began patriarchy. And no, Eve was very much aware. At least this is my understanding. Because she knew we had to forget in order to remember. If we hadn't forgotten about the garden, about the fact that we are the essence of abundance and joy and pleasure, we would have not remembered. And so the erotic innocence is about remembering that. It's about opening back to the innocence and the playfulness and the tenderness of being erotic beings, like the bees that are feeding from the roses, and then going and pollinating the world. We are pure erotic forces creating life. And when we want something from life, we're going to get it. We're going to manipulate it. Yeah, interesting. But oftentimes you get the stuff you want, but it's not really what you want. It's what your mind wants. And it wants because it wants out of fear. I want this because I fear not having it. Whereas when we enter the erotic innocence, it's simply being with your body, with the joy that exists within your body, and allowing innocently, spontaneously, tenderly to see what wants to emerge. And so from there, we can really create life, not manifest life out of fear, but create life out of presence. Mm. And so it requires something quite radical to be totally spontaneous in the moment. It requires something complete to trust our bodies and to trust the erotic force that creates all of life. We are born out of an orgasm. Even if the woman or the man didn't have an orgasm in that moment, the moment a sperm touches an egg, that's an orgasmic response. Whoa, that's what created us. Okay, so how can we allow that to be what is going to create all of life around us? And I think, you know, for many, we've had our sexuality repressed, suppressed, abused, taken advantage of. And what has happened is that we have cut off ourselves from that part. So there's two ways. Either we over-sexualized or we cut it off. And in both ways, well, if we've had an experience of trauma, the person that did that is still winning. And I know it's not about a win or a loss, but they're still having control on us, because our response, either overt or retracted, is still responding to the event that has happened. Whereas if we move into this conversation that we're speaking about, we're not broken. I can go back into wholeness. How does my body want to express itself if I know that my erotic self is the most precious, innocent thing that exists, and it creates life? My breasts can nourish life. My ovaries are holding all of the fertility of the world. My tongue can soften my yoni. My eyes are directly connected to my heart. I can taste, smell, hear, sense, feel everything around me. And all of that is the expression of what I am here to share in the world? Wow. I don't know. Life gets really delicious.
No, I wish more people would return to this innocence. This does give a lot of freedom. And coming out of a state of a victim is deeply important, and something important to address, as so many women indeed have had a sexual trauma that might result in misunderstanding of this energy. And there is a lot of conditioning still that is on the way.
And that's where discipline becomes essential.
Mm.
Because in those moments of innocence as a child, our parents didn't protect us. Okay? They didn't know how. They didn't. And these moments happen, and we lost the innocence. But when we retrieve the innocence, the discipline of holding the masculine in us that is not going to protect out of fear, but guard out of love that preciousness, mm-hmm. is not going to share this delight with whoever is on the street. No.
Yeah.
You get to learn discernment, proper timing, coherence, and how this energy can be expressed at will in the proper conditions.
Yeah.
The world is a safe place, and there are many situations that get challenging and complicated. But if we have this discipline of shaping, nothing will make me waver from the knowing of this love in my heart. This is the most precious thing that I will guard with all of my love. That's where the discipline becomes essential.
Ludivine Rose has a series of 12 practices inside Feel Membership, helping women to feel the sacredness of their body, their fertility, and sexual energy. Guided tantric dance, breast massage, and meditations. You can join the membership now and take these teachings into practice. And if you'd like to transform your relationship to your energy and embody your feminine power, you can join us for a 3-month live initiation called Feminine Power Blueprint, starting this October 2nd, where Ludivine will teach erotic innocence. And myself and 10 more teachers will share the wisdom all women deserve to have for the most fulfilling lives we can all have. You can find more information in this episode description.
This kind of state when you are so connected to your inner masculine that is healthy and also allow the flow and pleasure and sensuality and this kind of chaos to happen in a safe container, this is what I find to be power, a sense of power. Unfortunately, again, I am finding in the world that very few people are even aware of such possibility. As we enter in spaces with women and start sharing with each other on our struggles or our desires, it comes up a lot that many, many women do not feel the sense of safety and therefore feel a little lost. And what you've just shared, this inner masculine, could be so empowering if more women learn it.
Yeah.
Could you speak on to that, on this balance between the feminine and masculine that is within us and how to create it, even start that path?
Yeah, well, I'll speak about Shakti because Shakti is power. Shakti is the word for feminine in Sanskrit, but it's the word for power. And it means the power that brings beauty and harmony. Shakti is in all things. Shakti is my computer. Shakti is my body. Shakti is everything. And it's the moving pulsation of life. And how to cultivate a relationship with Shakti. That's where the discipline comes. This force of life that moves through all of the cosmos is also in me. I am also that. So cultivating every day, it's like a line, a communication line with it, becomes your safeguard. That's how safety is built. This is not all about me. There is a great force that is in charge of this. And it is Shakti. It is the goddess. It is the tissue that holds all of us together. And how can I create a relationship in an everyday basis with that force that is bigger than me? Humility. I don't know. Show me. God, goddess, universe, source, whatever you want to call it. You're spinning on a planet in the middle of the cosmos. You were born out of an orgasm and grew in a womb of a woman for 9 months. There is something bigger than us. Whatever you want to call that. Every day, finding a way to communicate with that, and that's where the masculine comes in. The discipline, the one-pointedness, the focus, nothing else but that. And when this relationship starts to being built with intimacy, then it creates a container of safety. I am not alone. I am connected to something much bigger than myself. I am in relationship to this great power of life that makes the bee buzz and the flower bloom and me being able to write a paper or have this conversation. And so it's literally taking yourself out of the equation by connecting yourself with the great source of something stronger. And yet you have to be in charge of that to create the setup and the discipline for it. The discipline of surrender to something greater than ourselves. The discipline of pleasure to decide that even if you don't want to do this, you will do it. And the question here is, what is it that you can do every day that makes you feel connected to Shakti, this power that brings beauty and harmony? There's many things. Dance, singing, writing, walking in nature, caring for your dog. But when you do it, open to the idea that you are connecting to something that is bigger than yourself. And then that creates that discipline, that container, that builds a good vessel.
Because honestly, this is where it all lies. A lot of people think they need some big retreat or a medicine ceremony to suddenly start feeling, but really, without a daily commitment to yourself, nothing really changes.
Yeah.
And it's so simple.
And it's, and you know, so many years we've resisted commitment.
Yeah.
Commitment issues. Oh, why? Well, offer that up and say, okay, I have commitment issues. I'm going to allow it to be invited and work on it and do something every day for 5 minutes. Do the same thing every day for 5 minutes. Then you will build power. And then you can extend. Don't say, I'm going to write a book, because you're never going to write the book. But write every day for 5 minutes. And then suddenly, 4 months later, you have a book. Huh. Mm. Amazing. Don't say, oh, I'm going to go to this retreat and I'm going to feel completely connected to my body. Yeah, you'll have a glimpse of it. Say, oh, I'm just going to hold my heart and say to my heart that I'm sorry. Every day for the next 21 days. And then suddenly you're going to say, I love you. And there's no more sorry because you've been doing the being. And it's lifetimes of practice and it's tender. And that's why we need community, because we need support with it. And in the tradition that I practice, we take the body of the goddess every day.
Mm.
And then ultimately you and the goddess and the universe are one, and it's all love. And it's all about love. It's all about love. And then in the love that you develop in your heart, then you can allow other people the opportunity to express their love as well. And the veils are lifted and we can see truly who we are and each other.
Now I've started this podcast episode with a question right away, because I knew the way you speak, everything is just shared through your energy. And now, as we're coming to the end, I would love you to share a little bit more about yourself so that people now learn who they've been listening to.
At times, I'm called Ludivine Rose. And the essence of my life is devotion, intimacy. And for the first 10 years of the exploration around remembering who I was, it had started with the idea of the orgasm. We are born out of an orgasm. Well, actually, I was looking to where are we going? But in order to look where we're going, I had to remember where we came from. And so I had to look into the aspect of sexuality. So for 10 years, my life was really deeply devoted to sexual liberation and understanding body and coming into my body, because I wasn't in my body. I was completely dissociated for traumas, experiences, fears. And slowly, through first sexual liberation, I became to understand that the body was my home and that it was safe to feel pleasure in my body. And then I met a spiritual teacher, and I became a devotee of the goddess. And the goddess resides in the body. And I thought it had to do all with sexuality, but it was actually the erotic. And the expression of this goddess is the erotic. Her mood is the mood of love. And how actually the mood of love and the mood of the erotic is our means to connect with the divine. And that actually you, me, and all the world is the expression of the divine, of the formless into form. And that through the expression of the erotic and sexuality transformed into sensuality, it can be transformed into an openness of the heart, which is love. And so I'm a devotee of love. I'm a devotee of the mother. This brought me into a tantric goddess worship lineage that's called Shri Vidya. Shri means auspicious, Vidya means wisdom, which I've been deeply immersed for the last 8 years. That brought me into classical Indian dance, where the body is shaped in particular forms and softened in order to allow the energy that is traveling from the earth to be moved into the womb, to be then expressed through the heart and then delighted by the audience. And that brought me to Mary Magdalene in parallel, and following the trails of Mary Magdalene in southern France. And now I spend a lot of my time at the cave where she spent the last 33 years of her life. So I guess my path is a path of union, of yoga, of true yoga, and removing the veils between me and the world in order to remember the union of love in our heart in a delightful way. So yeah, I guess that, so much more.
Mm.
But very simply, all of this is being reflected in what is my relationship with my brothers and sisters? What is relationship with my father and my mother? What is the relationship with my partner? What is the relationship with the work that I have? And how can I soften into a relationship of love? And as my spiritual teacher says, old people tend to be wise, not because they're old, but because hopefully they've loved a lot. And if they've loved a lot, it means they've lost a lot. And so it's a path of loss, but, you know, not loss in the bad way, loss of what we think we want, or who we think we are, or who we think we need to be. All of these identities are being shedded. So I can just be me. Yeah, I have an Instagram that I don't use a lot. It's called olden.rose.mystery. And you can reach out to me there. I have a course on something called the Academy of Oracle Arts, where I have courses on goddess worship, but also we're starting a 6-month course on Mary Magdalene. That's going to be really rich and beautiful. I take people on the land in France on pilgrimages. So if you or any one of your friends want to do that, just write me a message and we can do privates. And I also bring people in India. Mm-hmm. And so in India, we go study the early tantric temples that have the musician, the dancers, and the love couples on it. So many different universes that can be explored.
That was Ludivine Rose. And to explore her offerings as well as our upcoming course, Feminine Power Blueprint, check out this episode description. Feminine Power Blueprint starts this October 2nd, where Ludivine will teach erotic innocence, and myself and another 10 incredible teachers will share the wisdom all women deserve to have for the most fulfilling lives. Over 3 months with us, you will learn how to work with your feminine energy, how to work with your sexual energy, and become truly magnetic, confident, and truly alive. You can find more information in this episode description.